Let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Put that down.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Put that down. That's not yours. That's not yours. Put it down. Welcome to the program. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? I know. Process of elimination, right? So what's my point? So what's my purpose for doing this show? Yeah, I don't think there is one. No, the purpose is that we all bond together like glue, and we all realize that we're the same, even though you are really quite different. We all put our pants on the same way, don't we, huh? Over our heads, right? That's how we all... What? That's not how you put your pants on? Oh, all right, never mind. Well, I hope you're having a great day so far. Whatever. Just give me a half an hour of your time. The show is half an hour long, about 29 minutes left. After it's over, you can do the stuff that you were going to do anyway, you know, your little stuff, go do your little stuff, you know, your little errands, your important little things, you know. Just hold off on that. Give me your full attention. Believe me, it'll be worth it. Just so you know, this program uses cookies. We use cookies. I don't know what we use them for, but we have a lot of cookies, and we use cookies. So we also eat cookies, but we use cookies. That's how we do this. We use cookies. Whenever I go on the Google machine, it says on the bottom when I go to websites, it says on the bottom of the screen, it says this site uses cookies. And I guess, all right, whatever. You know, like, why are you telling me your menu choices? I don't understand. I know what cookies are. It's just such a stupid word for it. I mean, God, you know, it's high philosophy. Highfalutin, technical stuff that geniuses came up with, and yet they call the things stupid titles like cookies. I mean, come on. This is the kind of thing I get upset about. It's really stupid. It's pretty stupid. Welcome to the show. I have an interesting guest coming up later in the program, so please stick around. Please. Excuse me while I wipe my nose. I'm doing a lot of that lately. A lot of nose wiping. You doing that too? I get up in the morning and I notice that I've got hair growing out of one of my ears. The other one, yeah, also, but not as much. And now there's hair growing out of my nose. Not a lot, but probably enough to put in a garden. I don't know, enough where you have to mow it. I don't understand what happened. I reached a certain age and things started shifting around. All of a sudden, no matter what I eat, I get gas. No matter what, I can have a glass of water and 2 minutes later I'm belching a little bit from the water. I mean, it's not in a disgusting, excessive manner, but I know it's there. What's happening? What's going on? Some kind of mechanism in my body that says, okay, that's it. Let's start giving them shit now. I mean, I think that's what's happening. I think that's what it is. All through my childhood, when people wanted to reward me, they gave me sugar. They gave me candy. When I was good, they gave me ice cream. All the sugar stuff. I spent most of all of my childhood eating sugar. And then my young adulthood, yeah, we'd go out for dessert and have a great time and all these alcoholic drinks, these sugar drinks, you know, margaritas and all that kind of stuff with sugar in it. And then all of a sudden, there was like a little time clock. And I think it was about 40 years old, I think is what it was, maybe 30, where all of a sudden my body was saying, all the stuff that you were doing, don't do it anymore. It's bad for you. How can it be bad for me? I grew up on this stuff. Now you're telling me it's bad for me? Yeah, I am. Don't eat sugar anymore. What? It'll destroy you. What are you talking about? Don't do it. You like milk? Yeah, I've had milk with cereal all my life. Too much sugar in the cereal. Milk? You're probably lactose intolerant. I can't even tolerate you. This is my body talking to my body actually talks to me in the same language. You'd figure my body would talk maybe in French or Italian. But no, it's the same language. My body tells me all the stuff you were doing, stop doing it. Wow. That's incredible. Used to go out to dinner when I was a young adult. We used to have a nice big juicy steak. Whoa. Doctor says, don't eat red meat anymore, Ron. Why, what happened? Is it not for sale anymore? Did they stop having cows? No, it's bad for you. What do you mean it's bad for you? Why didn't you tell me this before? We thought we did. No, you didn't. I've been eating a steak and milk and all that stuff. I mean, ice cream and sugar. Now you're telling me stop doing that? Just like that? Yes. Stop doing it. Wow. Now I'm at a loss. I have nothing that's good for me to eat. I can't drink anything. Have a nice life. Enjoy your life. You know, retirement is funny. You spend all of your life. Oh, Ron, is this a philosophical show? I guess. You spend all of your life working 9 to 5. You got to show up and stay there until a certain hour and work for the man. I don't know what that means either. They pay you money, but it's never enough. You spend decades and decades and decades doing that, looking forward to the day when you can retire and you don't have to do this anymore. And you can just sit on your ass and do anything you want, anytime you want. But basically, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. And you retire, and here's what happens. Don't sit on your ass, they tell you. You must move around, otherwise you will just wither as a couch potato and your heart is bad. You got to move around. Why you told me that I thought retirement was relaxing. Don't relax. Stay active. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, at least now I can go to restaurants and have an ice. No, don't eat any. Don't eat that stuff. Don't eat that stuff. Salads. That's it. Salad. And don't put anything in them. Then it's not a salad anymore. Just salad. Eat like a rabbit. Wow. Whole grains, not little grains, whole grains. Wow. Granulated stuff. Everything's got to be granulated. And take all these pills. What? Why do I need to take? Because you got predispositions for everything. This is retirement. Most retired people walk around saying, I don't know what the hell to do. What am I supposed to do? And they can't wait to get back to work. I mean, it's weird. It's just a whole weird thing. One of the many regrets that I have in life, and I don't have that many regrets really, but, you know, it's a talk show. You got to say something. I never had a diary. I never kept a diary. I thought that was for girls. If you were a female, and you still are, let's say, I don't know, maybe not. Did you have a diary? Because in the movies and on TV shows, females had diaries. For some reason, women write down everything that they do on a daily basis in a little book, and then they put a lock on it so no one can ever see it. Guys don't give a crap. They apparently don't write nothing down. Diaries, a guy, I'll remember that. Yeah, try turning 40. What did you do yesterday? I can't remember. That's why women are smarter. They write everything down. Do they still have diaries, though? Because nothing is writing down anymore. Everything is computerized. Do you have all your thoughts in the cloud somewhere? I mean, are there still diaries? Does anybody keep it? Raise your hand if you still write in a diary today. Look at nobody raised their hand. Well, I can't see anyway. This is a radio show. I'm assuming nobody raised. I don't think any people keep diaries anymore. I wish I did. And it wasn't, not that I go back to the diaries. There'll be a lot of diaries, by the way. Isn't it funny how diary is a derivative of diarrhea? Put that together. I don't know how it fits, but put it together somehow. Anyway, yeah, if you kept a diary, did you do it all your life, every day of your life? Wow. You know, it's not what you did. It's not like, oh, I can go back in my diary to December 17th, 1827. I had chicken for dinner and some rice and a bowl of soup. It's not for that. You write down your feelings of what happened during the day. Yeah, today I went to the grocery store and there was a lady in front of me and she just like took so long and she didn't have the correct change and I just stood there like for 5 minutes. She was still going through her change purse. I wanted to knock the crap out of this lady. That's the kind of thing in a diary. I think when you look back at your diary, if you had one, there's only two reactions. Either, whoa, when I was younger, I was an angry person, or, oh, when I was younger, I loved everything. How stupid was I? It's just interesting. I think if you kept a diary, you really do have a microcosm of one's life-changing attitude. Not so much what you did specifically, but your freaking attitude toward everything. It really says who you are. I always love this phrase where you can change yourself. You can be a better person. You can make the changes you need. No, you can't. No, you can't. I think we all have the basic foundation that was poured when we were younger. And that foundation is always there. And everything is built off of that foundation. You can't change the foundation. But, you know, all these public speakers say, no, you can change your life. Yeah, you know, you can alter it, but you can't change it. You are who you are. Accept who you are. Know who you are. Know the things that you don't do well. Know the things that you do really, really well. Know the situations that you just are not comfortable in. Know the situations that make you feel very relaxed and very accepted. And build on those. But you can't change who you are. And don't change for somebody else. Unless you're going to a dinner function and you're not dressed properly, then you should change. But then we're talking about clothes, not personality. You know, you go to a party and your spouse says, now you act nice tonight. Right, I'll act like it, but I'm not nice. I know. We can modify, but we can't change our foundation. And that's the problem. And I don't know, but it doesn't mean you can't make modifications, and at least you know yourself. Well, that was no good. All right, Ron, you're pointing stuff out. What do we do? I don't know. What am I? You know, I'm not public. I always wanted to be a motivational speaker. I wanted to motivate people. Not that I would change them or make their lives different. I just motivate them. Motivation doesn't mean much of anything, really. I've been to a few motivational things for various reasons. They always have this sparky cheerleader kind of guy or girl standing on a stage, pacing back and forth like they have so much freaking energy. And, you know, just displaying how much pep they have. And we all want to be like that when we're looking at it. But after like an hour of it, I don't want to do that. I always wanted to be a motivation. I think I'd be good at it. I can pace. I can put on an act. The idea is to get people to leave the auditorium or whatever place you're, whatever venue it is. The idea is to have them walk out of the room like feeling very energized, like nothing can stop me now. Nobody can tell me not to do what I'm going to do to embetter myself and the people around me. Because life is there, all I have to do is go out and get it. That lasts for about maybe 15 minutes after you leave the room. Then you run into some schmuck in the street and all of a sudden, you're an angry bastard again. How was that motivational speaker? Very motivating for 15 minutes after I left. But by then, you've paid for the motivational speech. The motivational speaker has made their money. That's their motivation. It's not about, you know, they always... What's the motivation of a motivational speaker? Getting paid to motivate you for a little bit after you leave. That's their motivation. That's why they're so damn happy. They just took your money. You ain't changing your life. You ain't better off, but they got your money, man. That's their motivation. That's why I want to be a motivational speaker. You know, they present it like, I want to change your life. I care so much about you, even though I have no idea who you are. I care so much about you that I want to motivate you to have just a wonderful life because you're just such a wonderful person who I don't know and I will never see again. But if I can change just one person's life, it would be worth it. It'd be more worth it if you paid me money to change your life, and that's why I'm here. So, who are all the people sitting in an audience at a motivational speech? Who are they? They are people who are not happy with who they are. I need to have somebody tell me how to do something to make me happy. Yes, the audience at a motivational speech is pretty much unhappy, not successful people. Yes, I wanna go out there and I wanna achieve. Okay, give me money. Okay, thank you. This is how you do it. Oh, sounds good. Okay, now go. All right. Nothing happens. But I'd be good at that. You know, I can pace on a stage. I know how to pace. I know how to go backwards and forwards on a stage. Give me a microphone. I'll do it. You got to engage the people so that they like you. And somewhere in the motivational speech, you have to connect with the audience who are people who feel that they're losers. So you have to connect to them. How do you do it? Simple. You start the motivational speech by telling people who you are and what a pathetic loser you were. That's how you start it. That's how they make the connection. Hey, look, he was pathetic, just like me. And now look at him. He's pacing on the stage with a microphone. I want to do that. So you start off by telling him just how horrible life was for you. Everybody was peeing on your head and you were like, you know, and you were just awful and everything and nobody liked you. And it was just a horrible life. And and you can even get into the suicide thing. That's a little bit of a, you know, that's a little going a little too far. But some people do it. You can really get how horrible your life was. You're on the wrong path. You were headed for doom and destruction. You're just, you know, you're so unhealthy that you're going to die any minute. And blah, 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 blah. And the people in the audience go, whoa, she was even worse off than I was. And look how they turned around their lives to the point where they're giving motivational speeches pacing on a stage. Once you do that, you got them hooked. Now you can say anything you want because they're stuck. There are people sitting in chairs staring at you. That already is a formula for success. Here I am in front of people with a microphone, looking chipper, pacing back and forth with a smile on my face, and look at all of you staring at me, looking for some kind of answer. This is a perfect situation for me. All right, kids. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I guarantee you'll never go to another motivational speech again after what I just said. Anyway, yeah. Hey, some people feel really down on themselves. And sometimes there's good reason.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you've thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective, and we'll take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Dr. Rekha Kumar joins us now. Thanks for being with us. She's an international leader in the field of obesity and an endocrinologist and head of medical affairs at Found. I think just about everybody that I talk to talks about obesity because they're concerned about it, especially with certain times of year. And I know from many interviews and in this country, obesity is certainly a gigantic concern.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. Obesity is a big concern in this country and a growing concern all over the world.
Yeah, wow. I thought it was this country because we overindulge or we don't take care of ourselves, but I guess that happens other places. I thought European countries look so good.
They're doing better than we are, but they're also catching up, and probably partially because a portion of our weight is out of our control.
Yeah, probably because they're eating our food too. That's probably what's going on there. All right. People struggle all their lives with weight loss, and even if they do tackle the obesity problem, within a year, they're right back where they started. And I guess that becomes very frustrating psychologically.
Yeah, I agree with you. It can feel really defeating when somebody tries several times to lose weight on their own through diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they fall off the wagon, or they feel like they don't have enough willpower because something forces them off their diet. What's interesting is that science shows us that 60 to 80% of our body weight is actually controlled by our biology. So our genetics, our hormones, medications we may be taking, our age, our metabolism. So there actually are a lot of factors of our control that when diet and exercise feel like they're failing, there could be biological factors that are working against us in our weight journey.
So people take the route of looking at over the counter. They go to their pharmacists or their doctors, and There are many, many shops that have opened up that'll suck the fat out of you, and cold therapy. I mean, it's just, but it's always been like that, hasn't it? There's always been like a plethora of ways to market somebody's weight.
Right. So I think that's part of the problem, is that there's been a lot of not science-based, you know, lose weight quick scams that are out there. And so people don't know a lot about prescription FDA-approved medication for weight loss that's prescribed by a doctor, could be prescribed through a digital health platform like Found. There are safe ways to lose weight with medical support that people don't know about, because all of the false claims of rapid weight loss, supplements, sucking out fat are typically not science-backed mm-hmm. methods and promise false results.
I know many people that have been to their doctors, and the response is usually, well, you've got to eat right. This is how you eat. Stay away from red meats, fats, all this kind of thing. And that's usually the response. Are there other medical ways indeed to lose weight other than surgery?
Yeah, absolutely. So the fact that you said that is so interesting to me, because even physicians are not trained in weight care. So only 1% of doctors in the country are trained in obesity medicine. So that includes diet, exercise, prescribing the medications. So the doctor doesn't know about this, hasn't been trained, or if there is perhaps an obesity medicine practice that has a several-month wait list, digital health platforms like Found have several, often hundreds of physicians trained in obesity that can evaluate a patient and prescribe FDA-approved meds. So although ideally we would all go to our doctors to have this conversation and get a prescription, that is not the reality, either due to lack of access, lack of training. And so digital health is a great platform through which people can obtain weight care.
Wow. Dr. Kumar, is part of it discovering the reason for the obesity? I mean, that seems like that's like 80% of the battle.
Absolutely. So a variety of biological factors like genetics, hormones, metabolic rate contribute to our body's set point. And so it is important to have a physician evaluate what might be the cause of somebody's weight gain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people aren't losing weight because that match between what the biological problem is and what intervention is being offered is mismatched. So one of the things we do at Found is that we take a very extensive medical history that allows our providers to appropriately choose an FDA-approved medicine to match to an individual's unique needs.
Wow. It's FDA approved, but do insurance companies, Medicare, et cetera, do they cover this type of thing, or is this an elective kind of umbrella?
So currently, Medicare does not cover anti-obesity medication. Mm-hmm. There are lobbying efforts to change that and, you know, ask Medicare to cover this type of medication. It really depends on somebody's insurance and their employer and whether they've opted in for anti-obesity medication coverage. So we are increasingly seeing coverage, but I would say we're still only seeing it 40 to 50% of the time. And sometimes insurance companies won't cover all of the medicines, mm-hmm. which often doesn't help, because the medicine that a doctor to prescribe might not be the one on somebody's formulary. So we have a lot of work to do in the advocacy area as
That's
well.
Interesting. Because, you know, some people might confuse obesity with just wanting to look good so that they can take pictures or pursue a career or, you know, be attractive. That, I understand, could be elective. But obesity can also be dangerous to your health and even your life. So, that's like a whole nother category, isn't it?
It is another category, and we have to be really careful to differentiate the two. There's the disease of obesity, and the American Medical Association, the World Health Organization, the Society, they've all classified obesity as a disease. And that's truly when there's excess body fat that's impairing somebody's health. Mm-hmm. And that's completely different than the cultural desire to be thin. Mm-hmm. And one requires medicine, and the other does not.
True. Okay, so somebody's listening to this and says, okay, I got to get more information because I didn't know that this could be handled in this regard. Where would they go?
So people could go to joinsound.com to take a personalized health assessment and determine if a Found plan might be the right option for them on their weight care journey.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you've given some people some hope here because it's most interesting. It's a lifelong struggle. And when you hear that, when people actually saying I've been struggling with my weight all of my life, well, it's like, wow, that's like your life has been consumed with this opposition. That's major stuff.
Yeah, it's really major, and it's really major for people and patients when doctors understand this stuff and actually say, you know, I understand that you've tried and nothing has worked, and yeah, that's not your fault.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Dr. Kumar, you've been fascinating today, and we appreciate your time with us. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guest, and thank you to you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, well, I wish you peace. Now go out there and be successful and tackle the world.